Well, we're going to read together now from God's Word as we find it in the New Testament and in the Gospel of John. John's Gospel, chapter 10, and we're going to read verses 1 to 16. We're going to be thinking again this morning about the 23rd Psalm that speaks of God as our shepherd, and that's something that the Lord Jesus speaks about here in John chapter 10, where he describes himself as the good shepherd of his sheep. John chapter 10, reading from verse 1. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus said to them again, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Well, please turn with me now in God's word to Psalm 23. And we're going to be looking this morning at verses 2 and 3. Of this marvelous psalm, but let's read together the whole psalm before we look at verses 2 and 3 in particular. Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Well, we saw last Lord's Day morning that the first five words of Psalm 23 are a truly remarkable statement, and Everything else in this psalm really flows out of those opening five words. The Lord is my shepherd. We saw last Sabbath morning that that tells us two things about the Lord. It tells us that the Lord is awesome. The Lord is Yahweh, a name that means I am who I am, a name that speaks of God's infinity, God's eternal being. All the power in the universe belongs to the Lord. He is awesome. But it also tells us that he is at the same time gracious and compassionate. The Lord is the Lord's covenant name, a name of relationship, a name that speaks of his steadfast love towards his people. And these two things come together in the Lord's shepherding care of his people, his great power and his great love and his grace. He stoops down in love and mercy to be a shepherd to sinners. So it tells us two things about the Lord, and it tells us two things about ourselves. It tells us that we are sinful. We are like straying, foolish, weak sheep. And left to ourselves, we will get ourselves into all kinds of trouble. We are sinful. We desperately need a shepherd. And yet these opening five words tell us that we have a shepherd, that the Lord is our shepherd. We are owned by the Lord. We belong to him. We are his treasured possession. The Lord is my shepherd. And then the second half of this first verse explains the result of that. What does it mean that the Lord is our shepherd? Well, because the Lord is our shepherd, then I shall not want. I shall not be in want. That flows from these opening five words, doesn't it? That's the consequence. Of course we won't be in any kind of want if the Lord is our shepherd. It's a broad, general statement, isn't it? I shall not lack anything that I could possibly need. Left to themselves, sheep lack everything. Sheep are very helpless creatures. But if the Lord is our shepherd, the one who is all-sufficient, the one who is self-existent, the one who is all-powerful, if the Lord is our shepherd, and if he is all-loving and compassionate, then we cannot possibly lack anything. This little phrase, no want, I shall have no want, that's a phrase that is used several times in the Old Testament to describe the Lord's provision for his people's needs. It's particularly used in the journey from Egypt to the Promised Land through the wilderness. Again and again, we're told that the people, as they traveled through the wilderness, they had no want. They didn't lack anything. We see that, for example, in Deuteronomy 2, verse 7, where it says, "The Lord your God has watched over your journey through this vast desert. These 40 years, the Lord your God has been with you, and you have not lacked anything." You have not been in want these 40 years. That's a remarkable thing to say, isn't it? At the end of an epic odyssey through this vast desert, as it's described there in Deuteronomy. They haven't lacked anything. You would expect them to lack all kinds of things. But God was able to say to them at the end of the journey, you haven't had any kind of want. God's leading of his people through the wilderness to the Promised Land is actually described again and again like a shepherd leading his sheep. Psalm 78, verse 52, for example, it says, "He brought his people out like a flock. He led them like sheep through the desert. He guided them safely so they were unafraid." Speaking about God bringing his people out of Egypt through the wilderness to the promised land. Psalm 78, verse 52 says, "It was just like a shepherd leading this vast flock of sheep to safe pastures." And so all the way through the desert, they lacked nothing at all, did they? They didn't lack for food because God, their shepherd, rained bread down from heaven, manna, every morning. They didn't lack for water because this vast river that flowed from the rock followed them for the 40 years during their wanderings in the wilderness. They didn't want for protection, even though many peoples tried to attack them in the wilderness. They were protected again and again by the Lord. When they went astray, God, their shepherd, came after them. Even when they rebelled, God disciplined them and restored their souls. And then in the end, he brought them to the promised land and he gave them rest. And so all of that would have been in David's mind. He would have known all of that, of course, when he wrote Psalm 23. He was very familiar with the idea of the Lord leading his people like a shepherd, providing for all their needs and ensuring that they lacked nothing. But then he makes that historical case study very, very personal here, doesn't he, in Psalm 23. He doesn't say the Lord is our shepherd. He says the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. And one of the distinctive contributions that Psalm 23 makes, and one of the things that has made it so precious in the lives of believers over the years, is that it individualizes, it personalizes God's care and God's love. God doesn't just care for his people in a big faceless blob en masse collectively. He cares for every single one of us, every individual believer with our own unique set of challenges. And he gives us care that is tailor-made for each one of us, for your life, for your personality, for your challenges and your circumstances. And then verses 2-6, the rest of the psalm go on to unpack this and to explain and to illustrate what it means not to be in want in specific ways. And I want us to look now in the rest of our time at verses 2 and the beginning of verse 3 at how the Lord our shepherd provides for our every need. The Lord our shepherd provides for our every need. And let's just notice three ways in which he provides for our needs. First of all, he provides rest. He provides rest. The psalmist says, "He makes me lie down." He makes me lie down. And as a townie, the significance of a sheep lying down was completely lost on me for many years. But I was really helped in my understanding of Psalm 23 by two books written by shepherds who became pastors in churches. Douglas Macmillan, who was a shepherd in Scotland for 12 years, and then a man called Philip Keller, who was a shepherd in the Middle East for 9 years. And they explain the significance of a sheep lying down. Because apparently it is a very hard thing to get a sheep to lie down. Sheep apparently are very fearful and jumpy creatures. And there is a whole list of things that will stop them from lying down to rest. Sheep won't lie down, for example, if they are afraid of anything. And sheep are afraid of a lot of things, so that means that they are on their feet a lot. They won't lie down if they are being annoyed by insects. They won't lie down and rest if there is any kind of fighting and tension within the flock. They won't lie down and rest if they're hungry. And there are many other things as well that stop these animals from lying down and resting. We see here in Psalm 23 that the good and wise shepherd makes his sheep lie down. He deals with everything that would stop the sheep from resting as they need to. And that's one of the things, isn't it, that the Lord Jesus promises to give to his people. He promises rest. You remember those beautiful words in Matthew 11, 28. Jesus says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He makes his sheep lie down. He gives us rest. And that's true, isn't it, in so many ways that the Lord Jesus deals with us. He gives us rest, for example, from a guilty, accusing conscience, because our sins are forgiven. They're atoned for, and the devil has nothing with which to accuse us any longer. He gives us rest from the fear of judgment. We don't need to be afraid that we're going to be condemned, that we're going to go to hell for all eternity. He gives us rest from that terror. He gives us rest from the strain of rebelling against God. He gives us strain from our sins and the damage that our sins inflict upon us. He gives us rest from worry. He gives us rest from anxiety about the future. He gives us rest from conflict within the flock, conflict with other people, through the reconciliation that the gospel is able to bring between man and his fellow man. He gives us rest when we become Christians. It's very hard to be an unbeliever in God's world. We're not designed to be unbelievers. We're made for fellowship with God and for worship and to enjoy him. And so if we're rebelling against him and if we're resisting him, then we're just making our lives miserable in all kinds of ways that we probably don't even understand. It says in Isaiah 57 that the wicked cannot rest. There is no peace for the wicked. No rest for the unbeliever. But Christians, according to this psalm, can rest secure and content because we have peace with God. And God willing, we'll be thinking about that a little more in our service this evening. And just notice that David says, "He makes me lie down." This is rest that only God can provide. We can't make ourselves lie down. He provides this rest. So the Lord our shepherd gives us rest. What else do we need? Well, we need food and water. And that's what the psalmist goes on to speak of. Green pastures, rich, lush meadows, the best quality pasture that you can imagine. I said that a hungry sheep will never lie down. He will stand and eat until he's full, or he will go in search of food. But there's no danger, is there, of growing hungry in a place like this? Green pastures. And the good shepherd leads his sheep beside still waters. Again, I didn't know anything about the significance of still waters for sheep, but apparently sheep will not drink from a fast-flowing stream. Douglas Macmillan talks about his time as a shepherd in Scotland when he was driving his sheep for 3 miles on a hot day. And they came to a stream. And the sheep were all clearly thirsty. Their tongues were hanging out because they were so thirsty. And yet not one single sheep out of that whole flock stopped to drink from that river. Then they carried on a little further and they came to another stream. And every single sheep without exception drank at that one. What was the difference? The first stream was fast flowing and the second stream was still. Sheep need still waters. I don't know the reason for that. Maybe it's because the water goes up their nose and they don't like how that feels. But whatever the reason, sheep will only drink from still, quiet waters. And the shepherd knows that. And so he leads them to still waters. He gives them food and he gives them water. Well, what does that mean for us as the Lord's sheep? Well, it describes, doesn't it, the Lord's all-round care for his people. He gives us just what we need. As we were thinking with the children, it doesn't mean that he gives us all that we want, but he gives us all that we genuinely need. He knows what we need because he is our wise shepherd. We may think that we need to be strong and active and healthy. We may think that we need to be out of lockdown. We may think that we don't need to be shielded, that we don't need to stay in our homes, that we need to be out working and doing ministry and busy and active. But the Lord knows what's best for us, doesn't he? And perhaps for us to be strong and fit and healthy and active wouldn't be good for us. And the Lord knows that what we actually need is perhaps a long, chronic illness and the grace to cope with that in faith and in trust. God doesn't promise what we want. He promises what he knows we need. And he gives us all that we need for life and godliness. Spiritual green pastures and quiet waters. And it's so good, isn't it? It's so important that we remember this right now, when our whole world has been turned upside down, and when the future for all of us, and especially for our nation, is very uncertain. Who knows when or if life will go back to normal again? Perhaps life will never again be quite what it was. It's very likely, isn't it, that our economy is going to be seriously affected by this pandemic. And we may have to say goodbye to many of the luxuries that we've got used to and taken as standard. But we don't need to worry, because the Lord promises here that he will give us what we need. He will give us green pastures and still waters. Even the very fact of this pandemic itself, the Lord knows that we need it. And we need to trust him that he is using it to bring about his purposes, his good and wise purposes for the nations and for the church and for us as individuals as well. We are not God. We can't second guess what he might be doing through this pandemic. And he has, no doubt, thousands, if not millions of things that he is bringing about through this crisis. Who knows what has been averted through this crisis? We simply have to trust that the Lord knows what is best and will do what is best. Green pastures and still waters. So the shepherd gives us rest. He gives us food and water. And then thirdly and lastly, he provides his sheep with health. He provides us with health. It says in verse 3, he restores my soul. He restores my soul. That means that he restores us to health again. And the Lord does that physically, doesn't he? When we're sick, he gives us physical health. He may use doctors and medicine to bring that about, but physical health comes from him. He restores our soul. He restores our soul. And we can give thanks as a congregation that he has protected the vast majority of us in these days from contracting this virus, and for how quickly he has restored the health of the few who have had it. He restores our soul. He gives us physical health. But especially this applies to spiritual health. This word restore in the Old Testament is often the word that's used for repentance. He brings us back to repentance. And that makes good sense here, doesn't it? The Good Shepherd brings sheep back to repentance. He restores the sheep. He brings back the sheep. The sheep that have wandered away. The sheep that have got lost. The shepherd goes out and he searches for them and he brings back the straying sheep. He restores their soul. And that's a good picture, isn't it? It's a picture the Bible uses in other places of how the Lord brings back backsliding Christians. We stray on a regular basis, don't we? Some of us perhaps stray more than others. We stray from the right paths that the Lord is leading us on. We get lost. We get ourselves into trouble. We hurt ourselves and we hurt others. And we get frightened and anxious. We stop reading the Bible so that we don't hear our shepherd's voice. Perhaps we stop coming to church. We cut ourselves off from the rest of the flock. Perhaps we head off by ourselves into the wilderness of the world. And the Lord, our shepherd, graciously restores us. He brings us back to himself. He comes after us through his word. He comes after us through our conscience. He comes after us through the loving rebuke of an elder or a friend. He opens our eyes so that we can see the wickedness and the folly of the way that we're living. He restores our soul so that we repent. We turn from the wrong paths and we come back on to the right paths once again. But we shouldn't just limit this to repentance from sin, because I think that the Lord, our shepherd, restores us in whatever way our circumstances might require. One writer says, when our soul grows sorrowful, he revives it. When it grows weak, he strengthens it. When we're doubting, he encourages us. When we're fearful, he comforts us. Whatever is afflicting your soul today, whatever spiritual malady you're suffering from today, the shepherd is the one who can restore your soul. And maybe that is you. You're conscious right now that you are in need of having your soul restored. You're conscious of sin, perhaps. You're worn out and weary from battling against temptation. Maybe you're struggling with doubts and anxieties and fears. You're finding it hard at the moment to trust the Lord. Ask him, your shepherd, the Lord, to restore your soul. Because he does. And he will. That's what's being promised here, isn't it? He restores my soul. You can't restore your soul. No one else can do it for you. Only the Good Shepherd can restore your soul. And so in every way, our Good Shepherd cares for his sheep. He provides us with all that we need. Just remember how crucial the first word of this psalm is, the Lord, The Lord is my shepherd. It's the Lord who does all these things. The Lord who is almighty. And the Lord who is all loving, gracious, and compassionate. There is no lack that you can ever have that he doesn't foresee and that he can't supply. There's no stray that he can't bring back again. The Lord is your shepherd who provides you with all that you could possibly need. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, again, we thank you and we praise you that you condescend to be the shepherd of your people, that you, the great and awesome King of Kings and Lord of Lords, should stoop down in grace, compassion and tenderness to shepherd foolish, sinful people like us. We are so thankful, O God, for all the ways in which you meet our needs. We thank you that we cannot be in want thanks to your shepherdly care of us. And so, Lord, we pray that you will meet all of our needs this day. We thank you that you know them individually, that each one of us who is a Christian can say that you are my shepherd. You know our concerns, Lord, for ourselves and for our children and for our loved ones and our friends and our neighbors. We pray that you will help us to put our trust in you. Perhaps there are those who need their souls restored today, who are spiritually flagging. We pray that you will draw near to them and encourage them and spur them on. We pray that this worship time together and this word from you to your people this morning would be a means of grace and help to strengthen us in the week that lies ahead. We ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.